the supremacy of Christ. It's a powerful discussion in this day and age, and that's today's topic from Dr. Don Wilson. We'll be opening God's Word to Colossians first, but know that our phone line is open for you at 866-899-WORD, and we'd love to meet with you online at tewonline.org, tewonline.org. And now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 1. If you don't have a copy of your own Bible with you, and I would certainly encourage you to bring your Bibles with you to every service. Bring a pen with you or a pencil. Never have any hesitation whatsoever in taking notes and writing down things in the margin that God would be able to use in your life during the week and from then on. We're going to be considering this morning from God's Word probably the greatest, most important, most critical, most unbelievable subject that we could ever talk about. Now that's quite a statement for me to make from the pulpit, isn't it? And so I'm going to just run it by again one more time. We're going to be considering in God's Word this morning probably the greatest, most important, most dynamic, most critical, most unbelievable subject that anybody could ever deal with or talk about at any time in their very existence. We're going to be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our subject today is entitled The Supremacy of Christ. The Supremacy of Christ. We found ourselves at the point in which we were able to thank God basically for three things. The Apostle Paul, about to write and confront the heresies that had begun to infiltrate the fabric of society at Colossae, made an incredible statement in verses 12, 13, and 14 with regard to our thanksgiving to God. He said, number one, we can thank God for His provision. That is because God has qualified us. Number two, we can thank God for His power. Why? Because God has delivered us. But then number three, we can thank God for His pardon. Why? Because God has redeemed us. And then you get into verse 15, and from verse 15 through verse 19, the Apostle Paul begins to speak about who Jesus Christ is. You see, friend, these people, the Gnostics, were a strange group of people. It's not that they didn't believe that God existed, but they had a form, listen to this, they had a form of a dualistic philosophy, which basically taught that God was spirit and God was good. The body is matter and the body is evil. You got that? God is spirit and God is good. This body is matter and it is evil. And also they believe that the world as we see it, as is created, that the world is made up of matter and the world is consequently evil. Now listen very carefully. On that basis, the Gnostics denied the humanity of Jesus Christ. It was an absolutely absurd thing to the Gnostic heretics to accept the fact that God would have become Jesus Christ, would have come into the flesh, would have created the world. Why? Because the world and the flesh are diametrically evil, and God, who is good, could never have become man, who is evil. In other words, my friends, what the Gnostics were saying here at this juncture is that God could never have allowed or even appointed or even thought about Jesus Christ coming to this earth. They rejected Christ's deity from beginning to end. And so we come here into verses 15 through 19 of Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to discover here that the Apostle Paul begins to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ's true identity. The Apostle Paul begins to uncover somewhat of who Jesus Christ really is. And so he begins to take us through the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to God, in relation to the universe, in relation to invisible beings and unseen world. And he talks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ as he relates to the church. Let's read these few verses together as we consider the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Beginning at verse 15, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, by the way, that little word for there, I've just got to stop just for a moment. That little word for there is better read because all things, by him, all things were created. You see, in verse 15, God's word is telling us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, that he is the firstborn over all creation. Now, why? How does he give to Jesus Christ that incredible status? Well, there it is. Because by Jesus Christ were all things created. Isn't that incredible? I remember we talking about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. For by Jesus Christ, because of him, all things were created. Things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers. By the way, this is referring to the ranking of the angels. These are the ranks that the angels have. And we're going to discover in just a few moments that God's word teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is not an angel. He created the angels. And he rules over the angels. We're going to discover in just a moment that the Lord Jesus Christ is not an angel who serves the church. He is the church. He is the head of the church. Now watch what happens here. Look with me in chapter 1 and verse 17. Jesus Christ is before all things, the Bible says. And in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And then we get down to verse 19. It's no wonder that God wrote verse 19 by the inspiration of the Spirit. Look at verse 19. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul says there, on this basis, because of these established facts, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the basis of the fact of who Jesus Christ is, God was pleased to have all the fullness of God to dwell in his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to just look at two points this morning, and that is going to really shock some of you. But if you understand the dynamic and the enormity of talking about the Lord Jesus from this passage, you'll understand that two points are probably enough, folks. We could preach on these and talk about these for the next year, I promise you. I want us to consider what the Apostle Paul is trying to impress upon the people at Colossae. Now, I'm going to put this into plain terminology. The people at Colossae, my friends, were in the business of denying the fact that Jesus Christ amounted to anything. The people at Colossae were in the business of saying that even angels could mediate on their behalf. The people at Colossae were saying, as long as you come to church on Sunday, it doesn't really matter about the Lord Jesus Christ. The people at Colossae were saying, as long as you participate in Jewish ritual like circumcision and all the rules and regulations, unless you become a modern day Pharisee, Jesus Christ has got nothing to do with it. And the Apostle Paul, right here in Colossians chapter 1, is setting the stage, and ultimately he is saying, wait a minute, folks, in Jesus Christ all the fullness of God dwells. Therefore, there is nothing that we can ever accomplish outside of who Jesus Christ is. Why? Because he alone has God's full and complete authority. My favorite verse in the Bible, boys and girls, I wonder what yours is this morning. I'll guarantee you 99% of the young people here would say John 3:16. You know how it goes? Say it along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. There's a little word that comes in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What in the world does that mean? You know what that means? He's only one of a kind Son. He's only unique Son. In other words, Jesus Christ is the only one who has the capability and the authority and the designation of Almighty God in order that He might save us from our sin because of what He did upon the cross at Calvary. The supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at 2 points. Number one, He is number one as a person. And number two, He is number one in His position. The Lord Jesus Christ is number one as a person. And number two, He is number one in His position. Look with me, first of all, He is number one as a person. Verse 15 tells us very clearly that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Now, friends, if we're going to understand the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to understand two things about who Jesus Christ is, according to the Apostle Paul. First of all, that He is the image of the invisible God. What in the world does that mean? By that little word image there is the word icon. You know what it means, friends? It means that the Apostle Paul is making no bones about the fact that if you and I want to see what God is like, we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to know anything about God, we need to look at Jesus Christ. Now, I served for a church in South Louisiana for 6 years as pastor. Wonderful group of people. I did learn, and Dr. Tommy Pierce is here. He was also in that part for a while. I learned how to eat crawfish, folks. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is just, you've got to eat crawfish. It'll transform your entire life. But let me just tell you this. When I was down there in South Louisiana, I remember in one of the towns just nearby, a place called Donaldsonville, a group of people walked by one day and they saw what they believed to be an apparition, an image of somebody in a lamppost. You know that before they could do anything about it, there were literally thousands of people who were falling over themselves to come, not just to look at this image, but to worship this image in the streetlight in South Louisiana. If you were to come from New Orleans, where I lived for 15 years, you'd see many bumper stickers that would say this: if you can't find Jesus, look for His mother. Now, I want to say something to you, my friends. The Bible teaches us very clearly that Jesus Christ is number one as person. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God. He is God. He doesn't pretend to be God. He doesn't think He's God. He doesn't act like God. He is God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says He is Lord. He alone is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I've met people, my friend, who use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a cuss word. You can hardly turn on your television. Friend, that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And the Bible says that Jesus bore not only the image of the earthly Adam, but Jesus bore the image of our heavenly Father who is in heaven. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He is the visible expression of God. Therefore, on that basis, Paul stresses the fact that God was present wherever Jesus was. Don't you like that? Isn't that incredible? I've got some good news this morning. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in My name, that I'm right there in the midst of them. Brother, are you a born-again Christian? Are you a Christian, Carl? Are you a Christian, my brother? How about you, sister? You know what? That's four of them plus me. That's five that guarantees the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who's here this morning? God the Holy Spirit is here this morning. You know who's here this morning? God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you who's here this morning, God Him very self, He's in this place today. This is God's house. And the Bible says He is number one as person. And He is the image of the invisible God. And He is God. And there is no other name under heaven whereby you and I might be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that possible? Because Jesus Christ is God. is God.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, The Supremacy of Christ, in just a minute. But if you'd like to hear this message again, it's on our website right now, tewonline.org. And while you're there, sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word devotional from Dr. Don Wilton. It's a great blessing. That's online at tewonline.org. And there are also wonderful resources like the new one. He has combined his messages with Dr. Charles Stanley, his good friend. Here's Liz with the details on how you can get your copy.
What's going on in your life today? Are you thinking about giving up? Don't give up. We cannot afford to be deterred on the Christian journey. Too much is at stake. This month, Dr. Wilton has two special resources to send you for your gift of support to the Encouraging Word. You will receive Dr. Wilton's inspiring message, Pressing Forward, along with Courageous Faith by Dr. Charles Stanley. Both of these ministry resources will help fortify your faith to stay the course on the Christian journey. Call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And request Pressing Forward and the bonus book, Courageous Faith, today. Thank you for supporting the Encouraging Word. We cannot fulfill our mission without you.
Now back to today's message, The Supremacy of Christ, with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know him, but if we're going to understand his position as number one person, we've also got to understand not only his image, we've got to understand the fact that God's Word teaches us that He is the firstborn. He's the firstborn. Look with me right there in verse 15. The Bible says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Just jump ahead with me a little bit. I'm not jumping the gun, but we're going to come across it again in verse 18. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Some people believe that firstborn refers to time and space, much like my oldest brother. Now, I have an oldest brother. That's right. I'm the black sheep. I'm right stuck in the middle there. All middle brothers, raise your hands, please. Thank you. I need a little support at this juncture. All right, I'm the middle brother. Listen, I didn't mind being the middle brother, excepting for one thing. I always got hand-me-downs. I mean, my brother would get new clothes and he would wear them for about 3 years, and then it would be, well, where's Puffykins? Let's give them to him. And I would get all the hand-me-downs. Now, I didn't mind it. So I'm convinced, I'm going to find out one of these days, I'm convinced my parents even gave me one of his used toothbrushes one time. I want to tell you something, friend. Something remarkable about what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is not speaking of Jesus Christ as the firstborn in terms of time and space, because Jesus Christ never hands anything down. Jesus invites us to become a participant, a joint heir with everything that God has given to Him. You're not going to get any used toothbrushes as far as Jesus Christ is concerned. He's going to give you the very best. You know why? Because He's the firstborn of all creation. And that firstborn, my friend, is the title of honor. It is the title of the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't have time this morning, but if you go and read Psalm 89 and verse 27, you're going to read, I will make Him my firstborn higher than all the kings of the church, all the kings of the age, all the kings of the earth. How incredible. Unbelievable. I've met some important people in my life. I'm sure you have. I remember getting onto an aeroplane one time, and this man got onto the plane. He was the biggest fella that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was big, folks. He got on. He walked like this. I said, uh-oh. And you know what? He came and sat right next to me. When he sat down, his knees came up around his ears. And I knew he was somebody because everybody was looking at him. And so we got ready and everybody was talking and he was just big, man. I mean, this is the biggest guy I've ever seen in my life. So we sat down. I turned him as we started to take off. I said, listen, old chap. I said, I've got a piece of paper here, and what I'm going to do just to get this out of the way, I'm going to give you my signature right now so you can take my autograph and give it to your children. He looked at me. He said, say what, man? I said, I'm just going to, let's just do this right now because you know who I am, don't you? And I said, let's just do it right now because there are going to be crowds of people hanging around me in just a moment. Man, he started to laugh. He was cutting. He said, you really don't know who I am, do you? I said, listen, buddy, I haven't got the faintest idea, but I know you're somebody. Anybody with knees like that got to be somebody. He said, my name is Carl Malone. I'm known as the mailman. I said, congratulations. He said, I play for the Utah Jazz. And we began to talk. And do you know Carl Malone's got a wonderful Christian testimony? And I, of course, my sons had told me all about him. And we began to talk and fellowship. And he shared about what Jesus Christ had done for him. And we got off of a plane in Dallas, Texas. And we were the first to get off that plane. And as we walked through the chute, about 50 people screamed out, it's Carl Malone! It's Carl Malone! And they began to charge toward us. I mean, just masses. I held up my briefcase to him and I said to him, hold my briefcase, man, my fans are coming. I mean, who are we dealing with here, folks? A man of my caliber? The last thing I remember of Carl Malone, this is probably 4 or 5 years ago, was him standing there in Dallas with his head sticking out above the crowd, signing autographs, laughing his head off. I'm going to say something to you folks. You can become the greatest basketball player. You could be the next Michael Jordan. You could be Miss America. You could be even elected President of the United States of America. But I'm going to say to you that when God tells us that Jesus Christ is the firstborn among all creation, everybody else slithers into obscurity. Into obscurity. The supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does this mean? The name itself accords Jesus priority. The name itself, my friend, carries Jesus into his place of absolute superiority. When John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, there comes someone before me. He was talking about Jesus' priority. But he said, there is someone who is preferred before me. He was talking about Jesus' superiority. Jesus is not just priority, he is superiority. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And there is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes each sorrow and heals each wound and drives away all fear. The name of Jesus. You see, friends, there are people here this morning. You'd say to me today, Pastor, Jesus Christ is priority in my life, but he's not superiority. What position does he occupy? Jesus Christ is not just my Savior, my friend, he's my Lord and Savior. I heard this week of a religious group that has eliminated the word Lord, the title Lord, from all of Scripture. I want to tell you something, friend, that is the greatest heresy you could ever imagine. Because we don't make Jesus Christ Lord. He is Lord. He is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is number one as person. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. But I want you to notice in the second place that Jesus Christ is not only number one as person, he's number one in position. He's number one in position. I love this. I'm going to listen very quickly, my friends. Why is he number one in position? Three reasons. According to the scripture from verses 16 through 19, he's number one in position because he created all things. The Bible tells us, because he created all things, things in heaven, things in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers, all things were created by him and for him. The Gnostics said it was impossible. How could God, who is good, create something that is so bad and so evil? You see, friends, that's the essence of what Genesis is all about. In Genesis, we read that God created man how? In his own image. There are people in the world today who would say to me, Dr. Wilton, you came from a baboon or you came from an ape. My friend, that is a denial of the supremacy of Christ. Do you know why? Because if I was created from an ape, then God must have looked like an ape, because I'm created in the image of God. And you say to me, well then, preacher, what happened? Sin entered the world, so that the Word of God tells us, my friends, that in Adam all die, but in Christ Jesus we are all made alive. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? He created all things, but He didn't only create all things, He sustains all things. The Word says in verse 17, He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. I like it, don't you? You know what that means? It means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the glue that keeps this world together. I don't have time this morning, I even cut it out. John MacArthur has a tremendous commentary series that I got out of Christian Supply the other day that deals with this whole subject. Incredible, get it for yourself. Wonderful study book in the book of Colossians. And I had a whole lot of stuff here I wanted to read to you about how incredible it is that God not only created this universe, but that He sustains the universe. You see, God not only saves you, my friends, He sustains you. He keeps you. The Apostle Peter, writing in 1 Peter, do you know what he said? He said that we are kept, we are guarded by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God. The power of God.
And that power is available to you and me as we submit to God. Have you given your life to Christ? You've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, this powerful message from Colossians. But there is more to come from Dr. Wilton. As a matter of fact, he's stepping into the studio now with perhaps the most important points of the day.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If you've just given your life to Christ, praying along with the pastor moments ago, or maybe rededicated your life to Jesus, Dr. Don Wilton wants you to have some unique resources that'll help you grow in your faith. It's available by just calling us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. Perhaps God has stirred your heart and you have questions. Meet us online or on that phone number, 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, and watch God work in your life. We're here to encourage you with great resources as well. You heard about the Charles Stanley book that's from Dr. Wilton's good friend, Dr. Charles Stanley, and his message on pressing forward. All of that resource is available online at TEWonline.org. Again, I hope you'll join us tomorrow. Dr. Wilton's message is, what does it mean to be born again? That's tomorrow on the next edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.